Last time on Wanderlust.
It seems that whatever happened in the attack, that those of us that got hit by the stuff, seems like we are being changed somehow.
Changed how?
It's kind of hard to explain. Basically, about a third of the town's out in the ruins, basically stuck there, and they're chanting this thing over and over and over again, and the Forest Phantom came and visited us. We were basically brought out there not by choice. I woke up out there in the ruins.
Oh, this is bad.
Yeah. We're going out to the wilds, basically now.
Anybody who got wounded last week is currently standing in the ruins and isn't moving.
Sorry, this is all a bit jumbled, but would you consider coming with? I know it's not maybe the best thing, but I feel like you're more experienced with dealing with all of this than any of us, for sure.
I think my other option is to stay here and wait for someone to decide this is my fault. So I'm definitely leaving town until this gets resolved.
I just want to reiterate what the Phantom said. This wolf is a predator that we're supposed to face up north. Then after that, this long walk thing is getting lost to the east, and then we figure out the cocoon thing once we're done with that.
I can't keep letting this happen to the town, and it keeps happening to the town. At some point, this is my responsibility, and this is now not three tourists that got lost. It's 10 people or more who are just members of the town who are standing here, and at some point that becomes my responsibility to handle. So basically now you guys just kind of tell me a direction that you are headed in.
North.
The rest of you, you're standing on the bank looking out as Autumn wades her way all the way up, you know, to her shoulders, and then just like a little bit deeper as you just see her head starting to bob along, and you see something coming down the river. Like, you see what looks like a very scary duck coming towards you.
No, I'm not throwing a rock. I'm waiting until it gets close, and I'm clubbing it with a rock.
Oh, okay, cool. And you come over a little hill where it gets dry, back down into a marshy valley, and you see a dilapidated wooden cabin sitting on rickety stilts in the marsh.
I think we're passing this by.
All right, you give the little shack a wide berth as you slurp through the swamp, looking back on it, knowing deep in your hearts that you've abandoned your dungeon master's hard work as you go on unharmed.
You randomly generated this.
Right, I'm like...
You guys skirted around that witch's, you know, witchy-looking swamp house and continued off to the north. As you went, the temperature started to decrease as you walked through the forest. This is maybe not wholly atypical. It's getting later in the day. You know, you are going north, but not that far north for you to start noticing any significant change in climate. But as you go, you just can feel a chill kind of on you as you walk. The further out you go, the more the trees around you seem to change. The forests around Smoky Bank are largely deciduous trees. They're leafy. They're a vibrant, not full rainbow of colors, but, you know, the leaf colors are fairly diverse from blues, like deep blues and deep purples and reds and greens. But the further you go, the more the trees grow tall, more spindly. They get long, sharp needles on them and change to something that is reminiscent of evergreens. These particular ones, as you walk and the sun starts setting, look skeletal. and angry. The needles are long, and as you, you know, reach your hand up and brush one of them, they're very sharp, very pointy, almost to where you think you might be able to make weapons out of just the quills on these branches. So, not the flimsy needles that we would be used to seeing on our, you know, evergreen trees. The ground is still soft, and the weather turns kind of foggy and wet as you keep going. And the later in the day it gets, the more that chill kind of settles in. Right as you are getting to where you would probably be wanting to stop to make camp in this sort of strange-looking forest, you come across a chasm in the ground. And the distinction here is the ground seems split and fallen back away on like a straight line across you, so like sort of running from east to west. And the difference is temperature. It's clearly cold enough across this line that the ground has frozen and broken away as like a chunk of ice. As you were kind of going down a slope, it split and fell away and left this big rift in the soil. So the soil that you're standing on is still soft, but across the way, you can see where it is starting to freeze and split and break away in, you know, fractals like breaking ice. The plant life across this rift is also quite a lot different. It's still those sharp pines, but they grow shorter and scrubbier and more dense, which is a bit unfun to think about trying to push through moving on. But this is where you have to make camp. And I will say, basically, your decision here is, how do you make camp in this kind of odd and unknown place?
Angrily.
So the biggest... Okay, so on our side, there is still regular soil, and there's spiky trees, and then chasm. How far across, roughly, is the chasm?
So it's not like a rift cut by a river that might be really deep down, that's just like slowly eroded through water. So, you know, at the top, it might be really far. You know, you might be talking about, you know, way further than you can jump, right? You know, yeah. But it is not like a straight shot down, and then it's broken back at an angle so you could walk up the slope of this. You can see it sort of like, you know, layers of sandstone almost, as you can see layers of just soil that have snapped off and fallen and like slowly slid back as they froze off.
So you could precariously scramble down and then back up. Is that the vibe?
And then back up. Yeah. Okay. It would be tough to do, but it's not like you're having to use ropes to rappel down this.
Yeah.
Because you will fall 1,000 feet. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's not like a narrow shaft that goes straight down. It's like an inverted triangle stuck into the ground.
Got it. Okay. Are we like feeling the cold from the like?
Yeah, it's cold here. Like you're cold now. The ground just looks colder over there.
Okay.
And like the wind would be howling past you at this point. You know, this is sort of a lower tundra that you're looking at, and that wind is pushing air across you as you can feel that cold breeze whipping across this opening.
So for once, the grass is not greener on the other side.
No.
I think Estelle will like take off her backpack and start taking off the sleeping bag. Okay, so I think if this is going to be where we're going to have to stop tonight, maybe we can kind of use this as more of like a shelter and like block some of the wind that's coming this way. We can kind of unzip it and attach it to some of the trees. Anyone have a different idea?
I'm in favor of a shelter.
I mean, I think we'll also need a fire, so...
Well, I figured that was part of it, whether we had a shelter or not. But in this case, I think trying to block the trees is probably going to... Or trying to block the wind is going to be better for us in the long run.
Is this a mechanical... Is, like, our shelter tonight a mechanical thing that will affect us, Cody?
It is every night. I will not say that it isn't in this case, but also you don't have to like build a fort unless you feel like building a fort. I'm not sitting here trying to give you gameplay things for you to be like, all right, we start cutting down trees and make a cabin to fend off the definite monsters that are coming to eat our faces off in the middle of the night. But it is cold and there is a weird pit near you, you know, that you have not seen the bottom of.
I just ask because, like, I can spend a fate point to have other materials that I've packed. But if it's not, like, a mechanical thing, I'm not going to spend a fate point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're taking a risk. You don't know what's about to happen to you. You're in a weird place. If you feel like that's enough to spend a fate point, do. If you don't, don't. I don't think that you're going to straight up have like a TPK if you don't.
No, I guess I'm more asking, are we rolling for frostbite?
Oh. No. Not yet.
Okay.
That's reassuring.
So in that case, Estelle will kind of start unzipping the sleeping bag. Fred, you want to come over here and help me kind of set this up so we can kind of have like a wall and a... something above us a little bit, too.
For sure.
We're doing like a lean-to sort of scenario.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. I have rope.
Go ahead and make me a roll for like crafting yourself like a little windbreak.
All right.
And I'll say Fred and Estelle can both make this.
Ooh, it's not great. That is a 3.
Okay.
That's decent.
I mean, it's not bad, but it's not good either, given what my crafting level is.
The closest thing I have to crafting is sewing, but I'm not sewing. So do you want me just to roll straight?
Yeah, if you don't feel like you have a skill that applies.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna use perfectionist.
That's okay, yeah.
+2.
So building this thing is really annoying, and it really bothers Estelle. So it's frustrating to constantly have the wind like blowing this thing out of your hands. You don't quite have exactly the right stuff to build a tent wall across these trees that keep ripping through stuff and literally cutting rope as you're like wrapping it through the branches. You'll like catch a needle and it'll just slice the rope. And you're like, come on, like, is this tree made of razor blades? As you finally manage to kind of patch this thing up. And it is immediately beneficial. Not having that wind howling past does help. And you're kind of all huddled beside this canvas wall, looking out over this just expanse of low, sharp, stabby bushes and foggy cold as you look, you know, sort of the direction that you're still headed.
How late in the day is it?
It's evening. It's like late evening, right? It's sunsetting.
Well, I suppose we should see if these branches and needles burn, since I think we'll need a fire.
I think that's a good place to start.
Can I try to light it on fire with my lighter and matches?
Yeah.
Okay. I do that. Do I have to roll?
Make me a roll.
Okay.
Dexterous hands.
I mean, yeah, that's the best I got.
Go for it.
Hey, that's a 4.
So, yeah, it goes fine. You know, you pile yourself up this little, you know, you find some downed limbs and some of these needles that have gotten dry. And as you gather them up, you have to be kind of delicate to not just impale your hands on them, because it's like picking up needle, you know, hypodermic needles. And you make a little pile of them, strike a match, and light them. And as you do, Juliet sort of like looks down at what you're doing and leans down.
Wait,
and goes,
I'm huh? Juliet.
Sorry. Freaking Maul leans down and looks at what you're doing and goes, you know, it's always weird to see the way people do things.
What do you mean?
Chemical matches are weird. Like, and not that it's a big deal. They're not, like, an ineffective way of making fire. It's just not something I ever had.
What did you have to make fire?
She, holds out this little device that, has prongs sticking out of it. And goes, go ahead, give it a shot.
Okay. Is it, like, electrically spark the... needles?
You don't know. It just has a button on it.
Okay, I mean, I'm like, I'll try it.
As you click it, nothing happens. She goes, you know, the thing about any electric device is they freaking go dead. And I can't figure out how to charge this here. So what I have is a wholly useless, what we called plasma lighter. So, hooray! Now I get stuck with matches.
Is that a problem?
Kind of. I miss my cool lighter, you know. How else am I supposed to impress people? With matches?
Fair.
Burning sticks? Ugh.
Speaking of which, how much do you feel with your hand? She kind of like holds up her hand. I mean, were they able to preserve any connections to nerve endings or pressure sensation?
Yeah, so kind of, and I have largely turned it off. As it happens, this is weird. Having a hand that you don't have to worry about burning or stabbing, actually really nice. So what happened was I got the hand, I could feel a lot with it, and it sucked. And then I figured out how to turn that off. And then I've just sort of left it off. I can feel pressure where it joins to my arm. So like when something hits it, I can tell just because I can feel it where it was originally affixed, basically. But other than that, I try to not have it feel anything because otherwise, you know, imagine if you got used to being able to take everything out of the oven without ever thinking about it. And then suddenly you had to start thinking about it. I also found it disconcerting to realize how close my hand was from slipping off of rocks based on pain. That was unpleasant at times when having to climb. There's a lot of downsides to that.
Oh, I guess that's an acquired taste. I would prefer to have feeling in my hands, personally.
Do you want to try it sometime? You could, you know, we could cut your arm off. We could plug it right in.
Decidedly not. Thanks. Although it may not be an option for some people.
I can't tell. I'm honestly surprised. I really figured you'd be excited to try out a robot arm.
I mean, try out one, sure, but not permanently. I like my hands.
I haven't figured out how to put real arms back on yet. We'll table that for another time. Talk to some surgeons in Smoky Bags. See if someone can reaffix limbs. Is there any other scenes that anyone else wants to have?
Can Autumn go explore the crevice a little bit?
Yes, you can.
That feels like an athletics.
Yeah, go ahead and make me an athletics check to start.
That is a 4.
So, let me ask you this. What are you looking for? Like, give me some kind of things that you'd have your eyes peeled for.
Large, dangerous animals or signs of them. I doubt it's here, but whatever made this crevice and, like, if where we're camping is, like, safe from that, you know? I assume the crevice is, like, an old thing where it's not just, like, there's a giant ice cube walking away being a glacier shaving off the side of the cliff.
Did you just propose a sentient glacier?
I did propose a sentient glacier.
Just checking.
We have a giant walking bug mountain. I don't think sentient glacier is that far off from being in this setting.
Yeah. So you kind of scrabble down this hill, slipping and sliding. The further you go down this initial break-off point, it gets icier and icier and icier, like right to the middle where once you're at the lowest point, it's frozen going up the other side, and you can tell it's going to be like an ice rink trying to get back up. You sort of start making your way just parallel to that break, right? So you're walking back and forth, not up or down. As you do, you start pretty quickly finding lots of bones. And, you know, you're not a biologist or whatever, but these are like, you know, you pick up a bone, it's snapped, you can see like teeth marks on it, and you're like, you know, that's about the size of my arm. That's really very similar to arm sized. And that's just snapped right in half, and there is no marrow in these. And there is a lot of them. I will say this is a case where you can dig further if you want, or get out of here.
Yeah, why not? You know, Exula hates a coward. Let's go further in.
All right, make me a roll. This cannot be athletics. This has to be some kind of, like, you're investigating, trying to find clues, something like that.
Will perception work?
Perception will work.
1.
All right. So you find these bones, and as you keep moving in one direction, you keep finding more and more and more, and then you start finding, like, piles of them. And then you kind of find a large mound of bones. And as you start sort of digging through it, you can see objects. There are, I'm trying to think of the right way to put it. bones are a thing that, you know, typically cannot be eaten. You start finding other things like that, you know, something like pens, maybe broken knives, and you keep digging further and further and further. And as you do, you keep finding more and more like odd trinkets and objects, things that are unfamiliar to you. All of them roughly pocket or backpack sized, you know, so nothing too big, but, you know, objects similar size to maybe a screwdriver or a pen or some kind of tool. And you find like a small pile of these things that you could separate out from the bones. They're all made of a not overly cold to the touch, but somewhat metallic substance. So, but I think aluminum similar to that, right? Like it isn't overly thermally dense, but is still metallic, but very lightweight. So you just find like a ton of stuff like that, that you sort of pile up. Meanwhile, we're going to cut back up to the top of the hill where Estelle, what would you be doing after you get like that tarp set?
Probably, I'm assuming Maul like brought along whatever parts of the duck. So probably like making dinner, like using that to make food for everyone, considering we've got such a big group.
Okay. So you start, you know, setting up like a little spit and stuff to start turning the duck. Maul has kind of wandered off at this point, but Mitchell comes over and sits down across from you and goes, would you like a hand with the cranking? I could, you know, give you a break if you'd like.
No, I think I've got it.
Kind of goes, all right. What? I don't want to say that I haven't been out here a great deal or anything like that, or that I don't know what to do when I'm at a campsite, but is there anything I can do to help, or really, like, take a watch, anything like that?
I think we'll discuss watches with the rest of the group. I still don't know why you're here, so I just, you can, if you want to set up your area, I guess.
But oh, that's already set up. I did that already.
Alright, good job.
Do you know where the rest of the group is? Do they typically just wander off?
Yeah. I mean, if there's something interesting to look at, then yeah, they're gonna be back by the time it's dark.
And they just go off by themselves? Like, Autumn just wanders off by herself, and that's just like, whatever, Autumn wanders off by herself.
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes she goes off with someone else.
Shouldn't you guys usually, like, move in pairs? Should I go after Autumn?
I don't know. Maybe you should.
Do you want to come with me?
I'm cooking.
Okay. Do you want to maybe talk about what's going on?
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know, Estelle. Maybe that your son is oddly statue-like and that we're chasing a nebulous wolf in a direction that you got from a vision.
Yep, I'm very aware of that.
And that's just, I understand we have to do something. I'm not asking us to stand still, but you seem overly comfortable with this. It's just like a thing that we're doing now.
I don't have a lot of time to ask questions, I don't think. I think it's just, there's a lot happening, and at some point, it just feels better to go with the flow of what all of this is telling us to do.
He just kind of like shakes his head and goes, I guess. Does it not help at all for me to be here trying to help you go with the flow?
No. No, it really doesn't. Because I don't know why you're not back there with everyone, taking care of everyone back there.
He looks down and goes, because I've been back there taking care of everyone for like the last, I don't know, 15-ish years, and that so far has resulted in way too many people going missing and way too many people turning up dead.
Yeah, but it's kept everyone that is still there safe.
It really hasn't. It really hasn't. The thing is, I failed. Like, mostly at my job, I have failed. So now
that's
I'm out
not,
here.
No. That's not true. Because ever since we've been back, everyone back there, when we've been out, has been fine with you in town.
No, they haven't. Some of them died when the bug came past. Now, all of the people that I got to help me when bugs come by are turning into trees. So no, it hasn't actually gotten better. It's gotten significantly worse, and it feels like it's largely because all I do is sit at home and do nothing. While I let people that I care about wander off into the wilds fighting nebulous monster wolves.
Well, I don't like that you're here instead of back there with the people that I care about.
Yeah, doing useless stuff. I get that.
It's useless.
And as you say it's not useless, you just hear a howl coming from north, right? The direction that Autumn wandered off by herself. Cutting back to Autumn. Autumn, you're down in this pit, right?
Everything's fine, right? Nothing bad's gonna happen.
Digging through these bones. You have this pile of weird stuff that you've dug out of them. These kind of like mysterious, odd metallic objects. And then you hear a howl and look up and you just see 8 pairs of eyes coming down the hill towards you. Like at this point, it's growing dark and there's maybe just like the last bits of sunlight and a little bit of moonlight illuminating glowing eyes, you know, like reflecting off of eyes coming down towards you. 3 of them at the same level, 1 of them taller, as they slowly pace their way towards you. The closer they get, the further they start breaking off and in a fan. What do you do?
I think she books it out of there.
Roll athletics.
Am I, like, in a cave at all?
No. You're on, like, a sheer slope going down.
Okay. Will a 8 get me out of there?
Okay, so you start running, and as soon, like, so you kind of have that fight or flight, right? What am I doing? Am I running or am I going to try to fight these? As soon as you start running, you just hear feet on the ground behind you, right? Like, that's all you hear. You hear nothing else, just, like, the distinct sound of very dog-like things running very fast after you as you're just sprinting away. We cut back up to the campsite. You guys hear that howl. What do you do?
I'm assuming like Juliet was getting more like firewood or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think she will like hustle back to camp.
All right.
Yeah. I think Fred was probably doing something similar, setting up his area and maybe just kind of looking around the surroundings. But as soon as he hears the howl, yeah, he's going to try to find the rest of the group.
Okay, so let's say you guys all meet back up at the campsite. Do you go towards the howling noise, or do you not?
Juliet says no.
Juliet, screw Autumn. Autumn's dead.
Have any of you guys seen, Autumn?
Where is she? I haven't seen her.
Mitchell, didn't you say you saw where she went?
Yeah, she went north alone, that thing I was asking you about.
Where the howl is coming from?
Cut to Autumn sprinting through trees.
Oh no, you're not through trees. This is bare ground. You're running through like pitch black basically at this point now. It's fully night and you are running through. The moon is not high in the sky. It is very dark as you are running up a very slippery, wet, half-frozen slope with the sounds of wolves right behind you.
I have my grapple gloves that are helping.
Yeah, they would.
Is there an end of the pine needles that is, like, safer to grab?
Yeah.
Okay, so Estelle's gonna, like, grab the safer end of one of those and get it to light on fire. I think we're probably about to go save Estelle, or save Autumn. Save someone.
He's got you doing it. It's infectious, everybody.
I think we're about to have to go save Autumn, and she's gonna start heading towards the direction Mitchell points her in.
All right, what's everyone else doing?
Oh, I've also got, like, my knife.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, I have a knife, but, like, I don't think I can go toe-to-toe to whatever's making that howl.
I mean, Fred's already been in fights recently. He's not afraid. He's gonna go with.
All right, so is anyone staying back?
I think, yeah, Juliet will stay back.
All right, so
and make sure the fire doesn't go out so she knows where to go. Because if she's just, like, sprinting through the night, like, she could pass us if we don't have something, like, beaconing her.
Well, I've got the fire.
That's what I mean, is, like, she's, like, making that. Oh, you have a separate fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
You see Mitchell, Estelle, and Fred tear off in the direction of that howling and in the direction that Autumn roughly went. It's pretty quick that you lose sight of them and can just see that tiny little burning thing way off in the distance as they run. Cutting over to the 3/4 of you, Estelle, Mitchell, and Fred are running just basically into the darkness towards this howling. And as you do pretty quickly, you basically run into Autumn coming back the other way.
Wolves, we should, I guess, fight them now? I couldn't, there's a 4 of them?
Okay, maybe we back up slowly? And because they're just going to chase us and they're going to outrun us.
Aren't we supposed to beat wolves? Isn't that like why we're here?
I don't know. Is this the wolf? You said there's 4. All I know is that there's the wolf.
Are you willing to gamble that this isn't the wolf?
Again, I'm not saying we're not fighting them. I'm saying running, though, is probably not what we want to be doing.
As you're having this conversation, you're like slowly backing up the hill. And as you turn and look up the hill, you see a set of those eyes coming down it towards you. Another one is circling around your right. And then a final one circling around your left. One of them significantly taller than the others.
What color are these eyes?
They'd be like typical. I think dog's eyes reflect like green, orangish, you know?
Okay. I was wondering if it was that same emerald green.
Not that glowing emerald green that glows of its own accord. These are reflecting in light from either the torch or the moon. As these reflective eyes circle around you and they get closer and closer to that burning branch, you can start seeing, you know, the outlines of paws scraping on the ground as they slowly pace in closer and closer. You can see bared teeth, and then that taller set of eyes that, you know, its head on all fours would be about even with, you know, a 6-foot tall person, right? A massive wolf paces into your view, into that little ring of firelight. Its mouth an open snarl, its claws massive as they dig dirt with each pace. And as it moves in that tight circle, it doesn't get closer than the firelight, just enough for you to see it. All of you feel a buzzing in your ears. You smell that smell again of rich growth, but also decay and life of the forest. And you can hear a voice in your mind booming loud, but not coming from anything else, right? No external source. As you hear, "You have entered my domain. I think that you might be on a pilgrimage to see what might become of you. You've touched the wilds, and now you've found me." You can talk back to this thing, by the way.
Are you the wolf that we're supposed to defeat?
I am the wolf, and I certainly hope you're not here to defeat me. I don't much like the idea of dying. This wolf paces ever around you.
So then what are we supposed to do out here?
Oh, you're here to face my trial and see if you're worthy.
Okay, that's probably what defeat means then, or meant, okay.
The wolf's head cocks to the side and goes, "Killing me would certainly be a way of defeating that trial, but maybe not a suggested one." The teeth bare again as you hear in your head, "I am the wolf." That the wolf is like booming, almost deafening in your mind as you can feel yourselves growing dizzy. The wolf continues to circle. "You're entering a dangerous land, a land of predators and prey. You get to decide which you are, but you have to pick one or the other. Kill or be killed, eat or be eaten. You will find my trial far to the north where it is bitter cold, where you must rely on pelts to protect you, where you must rely on long claws and sharp teeth and cunning wit to kill your enemies. You're not the only one on this journey. You're not the only one who wishes to see if they are worthy of the wild, able to survive the wild, able to survive the wolf." Is there any final thoughts you have for this thing before it pads away into the darkness?
Do you remember everyone who's come through and done your trial?
Of course. Everyone. I know every predator that has ever lived.
Was Otis Rees a predator?
The wolf stops and looks at you. The snarling stops for a minute as its mouth snaps shut and its eyes stare at you, burning in the moonlight. Its shoulders slope a bit.
Otis was a clever man with a great deal of blood on his hands. Soon yours will too.
The circling wolves begin to back away, back into a, like, one on each side of this wolf as it paces its way back up the hill. And the last thing you hear is,
"My trial is far to the north, but make no mistake, danger lies around every corner, in every tree. Do not show your back. Do not let down your guard, or you will be prey."
And those eyes make...
Where's the fourth wolf?
That's a really good question. We cut back to Juliet sitting alone by a fire.
Okay. No. I thought we were about to get ambushed if we weren't smart enough. And it's not us. It's someone else. So
I think she's been like building up the fire in case like the group comes running back with wolves.
Yeah.
Like she needs to kind of make this somewhat defensible.
Make me a perception check of some sort. Notice danger.
5.
Okay. So you're looking out, waiting to see something. And then it's sort of similar to what happened to Autumn, which is, you know, when something decides to attack you, there isn't fanfare. There isn't like a lead up. It just sort of happens. And you just have to watch it happening. You just see eyes coming straight towards you. Like, at a pace, moving quick. As you're watching it, you can hear footsteps. You can start to hear panting and snarling as a wolf is darting out of the night straight towards your face.
Is it from the direction that they went, or is it like...
Down the slope. Yeah, so it'd be coming up the slope towards you.
Okay. Juliet's gonna grab a hefty stick out of the fire and brandish it in front of her.
All right, make me some kind of a tackle wolf with a fiery stick roll.
Dexterous hands?
Yeah, you know, I'll say that if you want to do that, you have to, like, throw the stick.
Actually, I also have athletics at the same level, so I should probably do that.
Yeah, I would say either athletics is you're hitting him with the stick, dexterous hands is you're throwing the stick at the wolf.
Okay, I don't want to throw my stick.
Okay.
That's a 4.
Oh, okay, that's pretty good. So, this happens really fast. The wolf lunges at you. You lift this stick up. It hits it in, like, the light hits its eyes. It gets confused and turns to the side as it basically impales itself on the stick and slashes you across the chest.
Okay.
Frick, the one thing I didn't open was the status spreadsheet. Okay, so that is going to take 2 physical stress, which I will check off. Okay, so basically you don't take any permanent consequence from that, but you got, you know, full pawed by a wolf that is now, like, on a stick, inching its way closer to you, its eyes, like, dead, its mouth, like, yawning open, as, like, blood and saliva starts pouring down on your hands. What do you do?
Does it seem dead?
Yeah, I mean, it's super dead. Yeah, it's, like, fully impaled on a stick.
Okay.
Not typically a super livable experience.
I'm just making sure it's not like a zombie thing, you know what I mean? Like,
No. This is just a wolf.
Juliet's seen a lot of crap. Just a normal wolf.
Yep.
That Juliet has now impaled. Yeah, I mean, I think she's gonna... I don't think she really needs to unimpale it. I think she just needs to not get crushed by it.
She's kind of like...
She's kind of like shoves it off of her to the side and then like frantically checks the wounds and starts cleaning them out because she doesn't want...
Oh, like on yourself?
Yeah. Because she doesn't want it to be like another tree person thing.
Yeah.
So she's like rummaging around getting first aid.
Yeah.
Like antisepticing the crap out of it. That's what she's doing.
As you start like antisepticing this cut that probably like starts shoulder and goes down to like mid chest, you hear a thump next to you and then feel a set of hands like take the like bottle of antiseptic away and start cleaning your cut for you. You did shockingly well with that, I have to say.
Did you just watch me?
For some of the time, yes.
And not help?
I wasn't gonna let you get killed by a wolf, but also if...
Well, that's sure what it seems like.
Well, yeah, what if there were two?
Were there two?
Apparently not, but I waited to find out for sure.
Well, great. Glad that mysterious second one really got fought off.
Me too. You did better than I thought. I mean it as a compliment. I really figured I was going to have to, like, do something, but I really didn't. Have you, like, impaled a lot of wolves on sticks, by the way?
No, I haven't. I'm kind of freaking out about it.
Yeah, I think you should be. That's nuts.
And I'm worried that this is going to be more of the zombie thing. And she's, like really, like, trying to look at it and double-check. She's, like, paranoid about this.
Yeah. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I've gotten, like, scratched and cut and bit by, like, almost everything in this forest, and the only time it mattered was, one, randomly when the tree phantoms were around, and two, when it was one of those shambling, rough skin, like, zombie things that, you know, started biting and scratching at people, so I think you're probably okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Do you enjoy this part of it? Is this like a good or a bad thing for you?
That's a tricky question. I would say a large part of me says, no, absolutely not. I don't want to die in the middle of the wilderness. But there's, I guess, also another part that is... feeling the rush of adrenaline? Cortisol is a powerful chemical.
What is cortisol?
It's, you know, the stress hormone. I'm sure there's endorphins, too. That's probably why it feels good. Anyway, you don't care about biology. Yeah.
I kind of do. I'm not bored by biology. It's just as interesting as anything else. I mean, let me put it this way. I have... very rarely had the time or the inclination to figure out why exactly it is that I consistently throw myself into precarious situations other than I can and have been for a long... For me, it's habit. Does that make sense?
I can't personally say I have a habit of doing this except for recently, so maybe expound on that?
Sure. Okay, if you do this enough times, eventually it gets just as not weird as, like, brushing your teeth. And then doing other stuff gets a little bit more, boring.
More like brushing your teeth?
More like brushing your teeth. And getting to see wolves rushing towards you does have a certain, interest to me. Especially when you've dealt with it a few times.
Have you seen these before?
Wolves, sure. Just not these specific ones. And not whatever big one was over there, she says, like, pointing off into the darkness.
There's another one?
There was. It just scurried away from your friends.
Okay. Can you see that far?
Can you not see that far?
It's dark, so, I mean, I can see vaguely the light, but not really much else.
Well, anyways, do you know how to clean wolves?
No.
Let's clean a wolf! cutting back to the group, do you guys just make your way back?
I think so.
Yes.
As you are walking your way back up, Sheriff Mitchell kind of walks up next to Juliet. Is there a reason?
You mean Autumn?
Not Juliet, sorry, Autumn. Gosh darn it, Autumn. Is there a reason you just kind of wandered off by yourself in an unknown forest at night?
Did you want to be surprised by those wolves when we were sleeping?
I didn't say don't keep a watch, I just... Is it typical that you guys just kind of, like, you know...
I was scouting the perimeter and trying to make sure that we weren't going to be eaten by something.
Were you?
Yes? Like, what do you want me to say that, like, I wasn't, like...
No, no. What I'm trying to say is, are you, like, intentionally trying to find ways to put yourself in mortal danger, like, with the intent of waylaying, like, misplaced guilt?
And why would I be doing that?
I don't know. Probably for the same reason that I'm out here, and probably for the same reason that I've done basically everything I've done for the last 15 years, which is misplaced guilt. I am speaking as an expert on the subject of woefully misplaced guilt for a lot of deaths and missing people.
That would be good if my guilt was misplaced. And if it is, I will let you know.
Oh, you definitely bit somebody then, yeah. You seem like an infectious biting zombie.
I remember someone saying, if we go into the wilds, it'll come back and hurt people. And then I went into the wilds again and again.
Uh-huh, yeah. I'm paranoid.
Yeah, and I think you were right.
I don't think I was. And let me maybe try to put it this way, and this is maybe an apology that I owe all of you, but I am actually paranoid, right? Like, I try to find ways to waylay danger that are ineffective because I make connections that aren't there. It's not a good thing. It can be. Like, look, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean I'm wrong about what I'm paranoid about. Sometimes I'm right. But it can lead me to destructive habits like accusing people who are trying to help me of causing problems. That's one that I've done recently. Or putting myself in danger constantly, which can be good. As long as it has a reason.
So you're trying to tell me that the forest spirit that's giving us this quest that we met multiple times out there has nothing to do with my girlfriend being a tree, and it's entirely not my fault.
It could be that there would be more tree people if you hadn't been there, is what I'm saying.
Or I could have stayed with my girlfriend and she wouldn't be a tree person.
Yeah, and then your friends might have died. That's also a possibility.
No one died!
I could have kept her from getting bitten, you know? Also, kind of on my head. Like, literally, it's my job to keep people from getting hurt in the town.
Were you the person making out with her before a tree zombie bit her?
Got it, so
if you say yes, I will stab you.
So if you kiss someone, now you are responsible for their whole of their well-being, and that's, like, a reasonable expectation. So
it is when they immediately, like, when you hear a scream and run off, and then they are attacked.
I don't think it is. Like, that's not the way, like, our laws work. Like, liability does not track with kissing. It generally doesn't. I think it's good that you're doing something about it, but I don't think that running off into the dark in an unknown forest alone is, like, the right checkbox, done it right thing to do.
We are fine. This isn't the weirdest thing that's happened to me.
I believe that.
This isn't even the most dangerous thing that has happened to me alone. I was almost eaten by a giant mole.
That's shocking to hear. You should stop going off by yourself. This is more evidence.
That was unintentional. I was drugged up by mushrooms.
What? No, okay. You know, look.
No, it was aromatic? Juliet knows the right word for this. I'm angry.
That's fine.
It wasn't by choice I was drugged up by mushrooms.
I understand that. Autumn, what I'm saying is, you can be effective at this job and do it for a while, or you can run off into the forest constantly by yourself and you're not going to do this job forever. That's all I'm trying to say. And he kind of wanders off. All right, how do you guys pass the night?
When I get back, I sit next to Maul and say, tell me how to skin a wolf.
Maul looks up at you, like, covered in blood to her elbows, and goes, it's gonna be fun!
She pulls out her machete. How's Juliet handling dressing a wolf?
I think she actually gets kind of into it from, like, a scientific perspective.
Yeah, it's not that different from dissection.
Autumn is not kind to Juliet being, like, excited about this. Autumn's, like, angrily skinning a wolf.
Yeah, I think Juliet's like, oh, like, here you can see, like, where the liver is.
No one cares about can we eat the liver? Is that good for eating, Maul?
Yeah, actually, yes, the liver's definitely really good for eating.
Okay.
You don't throw away the liver.
Okay.
You eat the liver.
Okay, pull the liver out, Julia, and cook it.
Well, not
I already made it. It's over here, whenever you're ready.
Then why are you pointing up the liver, Juliet? Why are we talking about the liver still?
You should talk about the liver. It's like really an important part of the ant. It's like, it's an important... Do you not want to know about... We don't have to talk about the liver. Here, you just...
She just like is angrily like cutting.
She just like hands you a pile of intestines and goes, these are the parts we don't care about. Go get rid of those somewhere. All right. Anything else anyone wants to do?
Keep watch at some point.
Yeah.
Are you guys taking watch and shifts?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Well, there is something that Fred wants to bring up now that we're all back here.
Oh, yeah.
So something that the wolf said did kind of, I don't know, stuck with me. They said that there's other predators out here, and it made it sound like there's more people that might be doing the same trials we are. Are we going to have to kill other people? Because I don't know how I feel about that.
Maul looks up, holding a knife covered in blood, and goes, what if they're trying to kill you? And then keeps sawing at the wolf.
I mean, yeah, I defend myself, but the way they made it sound, it's like they made it a predator versus prey dynamic. Why does it have to... I don't know. It seems like if there are other people out there, we could just work together. I don't know.
I didn't, honestly, maybe it's just because my brain is usually thinking about stuff with animals. I didn't take it that way at all. I assumed there was just a lot of creatures that we don't know about out here. So
yeah, maybe I could just be reading too much into it. That's entirely possible.
It doesn't sound like they expect us to necessarily be peaceful about this. So this trial is going to be a little more deadly, I think.
I'm not going to sit here and be killed, because then no one helps Smokey Banks. And I don't know if that says good things about me, and it probably doesn't right now, but if the option is kill or be killed, I'm not going to sit there and roll over and be killed.
No, I don't think that's the case for any... I don't think that's the case for any of us. I think it's more of just getting yourself in the right headspace for what we might be coming up to. If, like, the rest of the conversation, like, is happening, Estelle at some point is going to put her hand on Mitchell's knee and lean in close and go, are you sure you don't want to go back?
Mitchell just kind of stares into the fire and goes, it's been a long time since I've been out here, Estelle. And there's a reason for me to be doing this time. I don't think Smokey Banks is going to slide off into the ocean if I'm not there for a couple of weeks. But I do think it might if we don't kind of have all hands on deck here. I think maybe it's fair for you to understand explicitly what my job is in the town is taking unnecessary risks. It's not like a hypothetical to me. I am paid for it a little bit, and it affords me a certain degree of prestige and respect within the town that is unearned if the first time there is danger, I run away. That really is not the option for me.
No, but you said that there are people that you care about that are going out into the wilds to handle this and seem to have been handling this.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, the people that I have cared about have stayed back. So this is a little distracting.
Ah, yeah, you don't really get to decide for me.
Are you absolutely sure?
Yeah, actually, I'm very sure that you don't actually get to choose for me whether or not this is something that I decide. I think maybe this is a fair thing to explain to you, Estelle. I care about you. I'm responsible for the town. Does that make sense? There's a difference. I enjoy being around you. I have to keep the town safe.
I'm still going to be grumpy about you coming, then.
You can be grumpy about it. I'm grumpy that you're out of town. Do you want to go back?
No.
Well, I think you should.
I think I kind of have to be out here.
I don't think you do. I think I have to be out here. Do you want to go back to town?
No.
Well, agree to understand that we are not in charge of each other's decisions. As you sit by the fire, there's like a pause. And he just goes, I probably could tie you to a tree, though, and just leave you here.
Even in the campfire, you can see her face flush. You don't want to know what I thought about when you said that.
I think I do. 90% sure I do want to know.
Well, you can find out about that if we both make it back home.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.